God is good and all the time. Amen. I like to say that God is good all the time. Even when we don't feel as if he's good, you know. Because sometimes you might be going through some stuff. You think, God, are you really good? Why am I facing this? But he is good because that is his nature. Amen. So I just want to sing this song. And I was thinking about that song yesterday. And I used to sing it when I was back in Cameroon. So I'll just sing it and yeah. When I come into his presence, I'm so happy. When I come into his presence, I'm so glad. In his presence, there is anointing. The Spirit of God is moving. In his presence, the anointing breaks the yoke. When I come into his presence, I'm so happy. When I come into his presence, I'm so glad. In his presence, there is anointing. The Spirit of God is moving. In his presence, the anointing breaks the yoke. Hallelujah. You know, when we come into his presence, we are supposed to be happy. We're not happy because of, you know, the fact that everything in our lives is going well. We are happy because in his presence there is anointing. We are happy because in his presence the Spirit of God moves. And we know that when the anointing is present, which is the power of God, when the Spirit of God is moving, you know what? There is nothing that God will not do. There is nothing that will not take place. Yoke will be broken. Sickness will be healed. You know what? Prayers will be answered. And that's the reason why when we come into his presence, I'm thinking that when we are living on, we have to anticipate. You know what? I'm going into the presence of God. I'm going with expectancy because in his presence, anything can happen. Amen. Father, we just want to thank you for the privilege to be in your presence. We want to thank you for the privilege, Father God, to just sit down and just receive from you, Father. We want to thank you for your unconditional love that you have for us, Lord. And we thank you for everything that you've been doing this morning, your presence that is in our midst. Thank you for the worship. Thank you, Father God, for the breaking of bread. And Lord, now that we want to receive your word, I just pray, Holy Spirit, speak through me. Move in our midst, Holy Spirit. You know every single one of us. Father, you know our challenges. Father, you know our needs. And I pray, Lord, that you will meet every single need in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. So I'm looking at Luke chapter 8 today. And when I was preparing the message, there's just so much there to cover. And I just asked the Holy Spirit what exactly he wanted me to share. And there are three different encounters there that he asked me to focus on. So if you have your Bible, go to Luke chapter 8, please. So there are three different encounters. One is the disciple in the boat, the storm. Anyway, then the other one is the woman with the issue of blood. And then you have Jairus' daughter. So I want to focus on those three. I'm just looking at faces here. You know, every single one sitting here maybe has something they are dealing with. Or maybe not. I don't know about you, but I have something I'm dealing with that requires faith. Are you with me? So are you going through anything that requires faith this morning? Are you going through anything that requires God to move and do something? Amen? Jesus said to his disciple in John chapter 16, verse 33. He said to his disciple, "My peace I leave with you. In this world, you will have tribulation. In this world, you will have trials. In this world, you will face tough time." But he said this. He said, "Be of good cheer." Why? "Because I have overcome the world." What does that mean? It means have that courage. Because I have overcome, and you are, if you are my disciple, you have to understand that you will overcome as well. Why? Because I have overcome. Amen. I heard a preacher said once that in this world, in this life, you find yourself in three places. Either you are in a trial or a challenge that you're going through one, or you just finished one, or you're preparing to get into one. And that's the world in which we live. So some believers, for us, we kind of have that, I don't know where we get the ideas that when we are children of God, it means that our life has to be without trial. It's a lie. It's a lie. As long as you live on earth, you will face challenges. And now when you come to Christ, guess what? You have an enemy. You have someone who is there trying his best to fight you. So you don't walk with God the way you should. Amen? And he is real. You know, sometimes we think when they talk about the devil, they talk about the enemy, we're just like, oh, no, no, no. No, the Bible tells us in Ephesians that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Because some of the challenges that we have, you know, we look at the person behind, we look at people and think, oh, it's that person, oh, it's that person, oh, it's this, it's that. And why the enemy is doing that is because he doesn't want us to focus on him. Because when we understand that the situation that we're dealing with are beyond the physical, then we can arm ourselves and really pray. We can arm ourselves and wage war against him. Hallelujah. You can pray and say, Satan, I command you, take your hand off my daughter's life. Instead of focusing on that daughter's behavior, you can challenge the enemy. Get your hand off my daughter. My daughter is the child of the Most High God. I don't care what she's doing right now, but she belongs to Jesus. Amen? We will have challenges. We will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. What do we need? We need faith. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. There is no way that we can go through this life and be victorious without faith. I heard someone say, faith is the currency of heaven. You want something from God, you need faith. When you pray, you have to believe. Hallelujah. Without that, nothing happens. Amen. You know, sometimes people are like, oh, I'm waiting for God to do this. You're waiting for God. But we have our own responsibility. And that's the thing sometimes with us Christians. You know what? We forget our responsibility and we keep looking on to God. Everything starts with us. Everything. We initiate the process. Pray, have faith, and then God will do his part. He will answer. Hallelujah. So let's go into the Word of God. We'll read from, I didn't take my glasses. Thank you, Father, for a 2020 vision. Okay. So we'll start reading from verse 22. It says, now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciple. And he said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. Thank you, Kerry. Well, now you stop my faith to act. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciple. And he said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water and the seas. And there was a calm. But he said to them, where is your faith? As they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, who can do this? Or who can this be? For he commands even the wind and waters, and they obey him. We'll stop there. You know, Jesus has been with his disciples. His disciples have seen him, you know, doing miracles and healing people and all of those. And then at some point, he has preached probably the whole day. And he's telling his disciples, let's go to the other side. They got on the boat. They're going on the other side. Now, on their way, the wind arose. The storm, not the wind, the storm. And they were not expecting this storm. The storm arose. And the funny thing is that Jesus was asleep. He was asleep. And the Bible says that water was getting into the boat. So I believe that the disciples, they were experienced fishermen, some of them. So they are there thinking we can manage the situation. Now water is getting into the boat. It's getting into the boat. At some point they think, no way, there is no way we can handle this. And they go to Jesus and they say, Master, don't you care that we perished? And I like it when you read this particular encounter in the book of Mark, it's a bit more detailed. You know, the Bible says that in the book of Mark, it says that the wind was just tossing the boat and moving, and the disciples were afraid. And believe me, if I was there, I would be afraid too. So they were afraid. They went to Jesus. Don't you care that we perish? And you know, Jesus gave them a word. Just like you and myself, Jesus has probably given you a promise. He has probably told you something. This is what I want to do in your life. Or this is what I want to do. And you are holding on to that word. You know, but the truth is that when he gives us a promise, he doesn't tell us what awaits us. He doesn't tell us the storm that might happen along the way. And so, while we are there, moving, maybe doing ministry, the Lord say, okay, this is what I want you to do, Pastor Rob. And while you are there doing it, guess what? Storms arise. People that you were counting on, all of a sudden, you know, they start leaving. People that you thought were going to do these things together, and they are no more there. And you begin to question God. That's not what you're doing. But some people will start to question God and thinking, but God, you gave me that word. You told me that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Why is this storm happening? Why is this happening? Or maybe with your children. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your business. You thought, okay, God, you gave me this idea. I've been working on this business. But I've been doing it for years. Instead of things to be okay, it's getting worse. And there are times where Jesus is quiet. He's quiet. You know, we go through that sickness. We go through that pain in that marriage. We go through those difficulties with our children and with our jobs. And it feels like Jesus is quiet. He's not saying anything like the disciple. He's sleeping and he's watching us going through that. And you know, there are times we begin to question him, Lord, are you really there? I mean, if you are there, why am I going through this? If you are there, why am I facing, you know, these such circumstances? If you are there. But you know, the fact that he's quiet doesn't mean he's not there. The fact that he's asleep doesn't mean he's not there. The problem is our faith. You know, when Jesus arose, I love it because he calmed the storm first. Before rebuking the disciple. When he calmed the storm, and then he spoke to them, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Why are you afraid? Because, see, fear is the opposite of faith. You know, when we are afraid, it just means that we don't have faith, we don't trust God. Because when you trust God's word, it doesn't matter what happens around you. You stand on that word. He told them, let's go to the other side. And because Jesus said that, definitely you have to know that you will get to the other side. And when Jesus told them, he said, why are you afraid? Why didn't you believe? Like to say, you've seen me do things, right? You've seen me do miracles. I've healed people in front of you. Why don't you believe? Why don't you believe that when I give you a word, it will come to pass? They had no faith. And you know, there are times we find ourselves in that place where we have no faith. I don't know about you, but I found myself in circumstances where I'm a person of faith, but there are some like, you look, you're like, I don't know. You know, like, God can do it. Not like you doubting God, but then you are thinking for you at that particular time, like, I'm not sure. He of little faith, why did you doubt? All of us have experienced God at some point in our lives. We've seen the power of God in manifestation. You know what David did when he was faced with Goliath, when he told Saul that, I want to go and fight. And King Saul said, you're just a little boy. He said, no, let me give you my record. Let me tell you what God has done. For me to believe that I can fight Goliath means I'm not going to fight in my own strength. But then I build my faith on what God has done in the past. God helped me to kill a lion. God helped me to kill a deer with my bare hands. So he said, looking at this uncircumcised Philistine, he's nothing. He's going to be like one of them. Why? Because he had a track record of what God has done, and he remembered. Amen. And that's it. When our faith, when we see our faith like drowning, when we see that we are doubting, it's very important to remember. Remember what God has done in the past. The psalmist said, count your blessings, name them one by one. There are times where it's important to sit down and begin to recall. Lord, I was ill, you healed me. Father, I remember when I had no money for that project. Lord, you provided. Father, I remember. When you start to remember, it begins to build your faith. And then when you look at the situation in front of you, you're thinking, oh, no way. If my God did that, He's going to take care of this. And that's why Jesus said, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Amen. We don't want to be people of little faith. We are believers. So we want to be those who believe when the Lord gives us a word. Regardless of what happened, we know that that word will come to pass. There will be challenges. There will be storm. We can't stop them from happening. But guess what? We know who is on our boat with us. Jesus is on that boat. And as long as Jesus is in our boat with us, who will make it to shore? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I just want you to say amen. Amen. That's it. Amen. So we carry on. We go to verse 40. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physician and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitude thronged and pressed you, and you say, who touched me? But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me. Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. We've seen those, the disciples, they didn't have faith. And then now we see someone with a strong faith, the woman with the issue of blood. Just imagine, she's been ill for 12 good years. I mean, there are women here. You know, like if it just two, 3 weeks, you know, on your period, you kind of like lose energy and everything. And this woman has been like that for 12 years. The Bible says that she has spent everything that she has with the doctors. And they probably told her, you know what, there is this doctor here who can help. She goes there. Nothing happens. You know, she has hope. She goes, nothing happened. Oh, there is this other doctor. She goes. There's this consultant. She goes and she spent everything. And the Bible said nothing happened. Not just that she was still ill, but even the situation got worse. The good thing is she heard about Jesus. When you read that encounter in the book of Mark, it tells you she heard about Jesus. You know, the Bible says in Romans 10, 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And doubt also comes by hearing, you know, depending on what you hear. So if you hear things that are negative and, you know, all the time, it brings doubt, it brings fear. The same way when we listen to the word of God, then it builds our faith. Amen? So the Bible says that she heard about Jesus. Now, what is it that she heard? She probably heard that Jesus heals the sick. You know, somebody told her that Jesus raised the dead. You know, Jesus set the captive free. Jesus does this, Jesus does that. And her faith was built up. And she said to herself, I am going to Jesus. I don't even need Jesus to pray for me. I don't need him to pray for me. I just believe if I touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. What a faith. So she has so much trust in Jesus, you know, in the power of Jesus, that she believed, I don't need Jesus to pray for me. I just need to touch the hem of his garment and I will be healed. And that's exactly what happened. I don't know where you find yourself today. I don't know what you've been going through. But you know what? There is hope. There is hope. This woman dealt with that situation for 12 years. You might be thinking, Ella, you don't understand. I've been through this for years and years. I've prayed, and I don't think anything is happening. You know what? Carry on praying. Carry on praying. Carry on believing. Carry on trusting God. In the book of Luke chapter 18, when Jesus was talking to his disciples, telling them about prayer, he said, men ought to pray and not faint. And he gave that example of the widow who went to the judge and kept going and wanted the judge to resolve her problem. The Bible says that the judge would not even attend to her, but she kept coming. She kept coming and she kept coming. And one day that judge said, you know, even though I am an unbelieving judge, I don't fear God, I don't fear man, but if I don't see into this woman's problem, she's going to weary me. And he decided to see into her problem. And Jesus was saying, if an unbelieving judge can do that, how much more of your Father who is in heaven? Amen? Pray. I know the enemy is always there sometimes to talk to us and just bring idea. Oh, you know what? You've been praying for so long. What has happened? You've been praying and you've been trusting God. You know what has happened? You know this Christianity thing? I mean, just forget about it. No, the question is forget about it and do what? I don't know about you, but do you have any other alternative? Because when you look at the woman with the issue of blood, she had no alternative. She had already spent all her monies, everything. She was not just sick, but she was broke. And so when they told her about Jesus, she's like, I have no choice anyway. This is my last option. And you know what? If I have to believe, then I have to believe really good. Because I don't have any other alternative. And you know, brothers, sisters, I want to encourage us. Without Jesus, there is no hope. Without Jesus, there is nothing. The world can promise you something, but guess what? There is always a strange attached to it. You can have it, you can have it now, but later on it steals your peace. You can have it now, but later on, you know what? It jeopardizes your relationship with Christ. So what is more important, having it now or waiting for God and keeping our relationship with him intact? Well, I don't know about you, but my relationship with Christ is very important. If I have to wait, I will wait. And even if I don't have it, because that's something that we have to condition our mind as well. Because when we pray, we always expect God to answer. But sometimes God might not answer then. Or he might even answer, but not the way we expect. Why? Because he knows us. He knows what is best with us. I might be praying for that thing, but that's not what I need. I'm thinking, I need it, but God is saying, no, you don't need it. You don't need it. If I open your eyes, you will understand that if I give it to you, it's going to bring destruction in your life. And there are some prayers that we will pray in our lifetime. We might not see the answer. The answer might come for our children. It might come for our great-grandchildren. You know what God promised Abraham? He said, you're going to be the father of many nations. Abraham died without being the father of many nations. He had just a few children, right, Pastor Rob? But later on, that promise came to pass. You know, after years or centuries, today we are all children of Abraham. But he believed God. He believed God even though he didn't see it. He believed God that it will come to pass. And that's the reason why we have to believe. And sometimes, like, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew boys who were thrown in the furnace of fire, when King Nebuchadnezzar said, you have to worship the statue. You know, they refused. They said, they're not going to worship a statue. And he said, I will see if your God will save you. And I love their answer. They said, our God that we serve will save us. But even if he doesn't save us, even if we will not see bow down before that statue. And that should be our answer. You know, when the enemy comes and say, I'm not sure, you've been praying for too long. Nothing has happened. You've been praying for this, you've been praying for that, nothing happens. You know what? Yes, Satan, God is going to answer. But even if God doesn't answer, I'm not serving God for what I can get from him. I am serving God for who he is, my God. And the reason for which he created me is to worship him. Yes, he will bless me, but that is secondary. I choose to worship him. I choose to serve him. Whether things are going the way I want, I will worship him. If they are not going the way I want, I will still worship him. Why? Because he is God. He deserves the worship. And you know what? When Jesus said, who touched me? The disciple, because if I was there, I would say the same. Who touched you? Well, there are so many people here. Everybody is touching you. You're being touched. He said, you know, there are too many people here, the disciple said. You know, they just thronging. And how can you say, who touched me? But Jesus understood that somebody touched him with a touch of faith. Her touch was different because he felt power leaving him. Are you ready to touch Jesus this morning? Are you ready to touch him with the touch of faith? Because that's the kind of touch that moves him. That's the kind of touch that moves heaven. Hallelujah. And you know, the woman understood that she couldn't hide. And when she showed herself, Jesus said, go in peace, woman. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith. Because you came out in faith. My power was manifested. There were too many people there, busy, maybe wanting Jesus to pray for them. But she came with faith that I just want to touch him. She understood the power that is in Jesus. Do you understand the God that you serve? Do we know the God that we serve? He's omnipresent. Which means he's everywhere at the same time. He's omnipotent, means there is nothing that he cannot do. He's omniscient, means he knows everything. Can you imagine that? We serve a God who heals. He is Jehovah Rapha. We serve a God who delivers. We serve a God who provides. He is Jehovah Jireh. We serve a God who gives peace, Jehovah Shalom. We serve a God who is always present. Hallelujah. We serve a God who sanctifies us, Jehovah Makadesh. We serve El Elyon, the Almighty God. We serve El Shaddai, the All-Sufficient God. Hallelujah. He's powerful. If we can just understand His power. And not just that He's powerful, He loves us. That's the good thing about it. He loves us unconditionally. And He desires, He delights in doing us good. Amen. So let's round up. So verse 49 says, while He was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue house, saying to Him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. But when Jesus heard it, He answered him, saying, do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. When He came into the house, He permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but He said, do not weep, she's not dead, but sleeping, and they ridiculed Him, knowing that she was dead. But He put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, little girl, arise. Some version, Talita Kumi. Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and He commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but He charged them to tell no one what had happened. So now, we started off with the disciple that had no faith. And then we see the woman with the issue of blood with, you know, such strong faith. Now we come to Jairus. You know, Jairus had faith at the start, because if he didn't have faith, he would not go to Jesus to ask Jesus to come and heal his child. And he was the ruler of the synagogue, because I believe that being the ruler of a synagogue, he had money. So he has probably tried doctors and all sorts, and then it didn't work. And he's thinking, oh, I'm going to Jesus. He's going to come and heal my child. And that's what he said to Jesus. My little girl is ill. Come and heal her. So he believed Jesus could do it. But on their way, the unexpected happened. Someone came from his house to tell him, you know what, don't disturb the master again. Your child is dead. Your little girl is dead. Oh. I'm just trying to imagine Jairus. And he probably would have looked at the woman with the issue of blood and said, if not of you, you know what? You are the one who stopped the master from going quick. I'm just trying to imagine. Because I would have thought it that way. That, you know what? The master was coming to my house and then this woman just stopped him. You know, if she interrupted him, if that did not happen, probably the master would have, you know, been on time to heal my daughter. But God has a reason for everything. Whatever He allows it for a purpose. You know, when they told Jairus that his daughter had died, Jesus just turned and looked at him. He said, don't be afraid. Only believe. You started by believing when you came to me. Now that she's dead, like the situation is worse, you know what? Only believe. If you believe that I could heal her, then you have to believe that I can raise her from the dead. Amen? So I don't know what you're facing. Maybe you started off like, you know, it was okay, but you were praying, and then now it's like worse. You know what? You've been praying, and you've been trusting God, and then you, instead of being better, it's just worse, and you're just thinking, I'm going to give up. Jesus is saying to you this morning, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Because when you start to be afraid, your faith is not going to work. So Jesus said, take away the fear. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. And I'm glad for Jairus, because he did believe. He did believe. And when Jesus went to his house, Jesus healed or raise her from the dead. And you know, there were people there. Like when Jesus said, oh, she's still sleeping. You know, when we look things from Jesus' perspective, somebody is dead, he said, she's sleeping. And they were laughing when he said that. But he raised her from the dead. And that was a greater miracle. Because if Jesus came while she was sick and healed her, they're already used to Jesus healing people. But now this is a situation where someone is dead. And they look after mocking at him that, and then they saw him raising her from the dead. Guess what? I believe that so many of them are going to give their life to Christ. And sometimes God allows us to get to the point where, you know what? We can't take it again. And so he can take the glory. Because you know what? When we can do it, when things happen, we think, oh, it's me. You know what? I did it. But when we get to the point where we're tied up, we think like, I can't. And when God moves, we can give him all the glory. Because we know that without him, nothing would have happened. And I know sometimes we ask, why, God, why did you send this trial? Father, why did you allow this to happen to me? And there are people, why me? Why? You know what? There is a purpose for trials. You cannot be, if you are a child of God, you know, we are all studying the word. We are all growing. But if there is no test, you can't even know the level of your faith. Right? I mean, all of us went to school to some point. I'm a teacher. Lucy there, my colleague, she's a teacher. So there are times where we test our student. Why? Because we want to know their level. I want to know if all the teaching that I've been giving them, they even understand. So I give them the test. And guess what? While they are writing their paper, I'm quiet. I'm quiet as well because I want to see their level of performance. I'm not going to tell them anything. I'm not going to help them. So you can see like the disciple on the boat. Jesus gave them a word. They are on the boat. And then, you know, the storm starts. And Jesus is sleeping. He's quiet. Let me see how these guys are going to react. I've given them the word. Let me see if they have faith. If their faith can carry them up to this level. And you know what? They failed the test. And then Jesus knew that, you know what, their faith, they still need to build on their faith. In the book of James chapter 1 verse 2, it says, count it all joy when you go through the various trials. It says, the testing of your faith build perseverance. The testing of your faith. So God will test us. There are some things that the enemy will bring upon us, but there are other things that the Lord will allow. Guess why? Because he is testing our faith. I want you to go to the next level, Ella. But I don't know if you're already prepared at the level where you are. Let's see. So I allow something to come to you, Ella. And you know, and I will not complain. Father, I worship you. Lord, you are God. Even in the midst of this sickness, you are God. There is nothing that you cannot do. I worship you. I praise you. You know what? I'm hurting and I'm thinking, oh my God, my legs. And I'm still there trying to dance. God is good all the time. And you guess what? And the Lord is like, that's my girl. And the enemy is like, why can't I just give up, you know? And then when you pass that test, the Lord is like, okay, fine. I can give her another level of responsibility. Because I know she passed this test. Her faith needs to get to another level. And that's what happened over and over, over and over. So if you are praying and you are saying, many times we pray and we say, God, use me for this. God, use me for that. Yes, he will, but he needs to prepare us. And guess how he prepares us? Through some of those tests and challenges to get us to the level where he wants us to be. Amen? So I want to encourage us to trust God. Keep trusting God. Go from no faith to strong faith. And how does that happen? By this word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The more we know the word of God, the more we can build on our faith. Amen? Amen. Amen. When we know the word, we know God through his word. So the more we know the word of God, the more we know God. And when we go through whatever we're going through, we know that well, you know, his word says this. So I can start knowing that he is there with me, he loves me, and he's going to see me through. Amen. So I want to pray for the young people, and that's why they are in. Please, if you don't mind, come forward. Don't stop. Okay, stop. Yeah. The young people don't want to come on Facebook. So we just stopped it. So just come this way. You know, I've been praying for the young people. And I want to say this. I don't want to impress on anyone, but it's because when God gives you a task, you have to listen. So I've been on a 40 days fasting and just praying according to different instruction that the Lord gives me. He will say pray for families, and I will just pray for family maybe for 3-4 days. He will say pray for your city, community. I'll just pray for community for, you know, a number of days. He can say pray, and at some point he said pray for the young people. And so I took like 4-5 days. I was just praying for the young people. And the reason why I'm doing this, you know, when we read, when we read the word in Luke chapter 8, the lady, the woman with the issue of blood, was ill for 12 years. Jairus' daughter was 12 years old. Now, you're looking like two generations. You're seeing this woman that the enemy is trying to destroy her life. And then you see the younger one that the enemy is just trying to annihilate totally and completely. And so when I was reading it, the Holy Spirit was saying to me, that is what is happening. You look at the church, you look at us. The enemy is trying to do everything in order to bring us down. And then for the young people, he's trying like, let me get rid of them. So later on, I don't want this legacy to continue. And that's the reason why we have to pray for our young people. We might be okay, you know what, going to church and doing these things. But when we pass and they are not okay, guess what? Everything will die. And we don't want that. I want that when I leave this earth, you know, I want to see her on fire, on fire, on fire, and the carry on, and the carry on with the word of God, the passion in Christ. Amen. So you're going to join me, and we're going to pray for them. We're not just going to pray for these ones. We're going to pray for all our youth, those who are not here, and just going to pray, even in our communities, to pray that the Lord is going to move. But for this one, ours who already know Christ, that they will be on fire for God, that the enemy is not going to destroy their destiny. They will carry on, they will serve God, and they will walk with him. Amen. Okay, I'm going to put a bit of oil on your faces, your forehead, if you don't mind. Father, we just bless this oil. Lord, you gave us, Lord, the assignment, or you recommend in your word that we can anoint with oil. Anoint you in the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, name of Jesus. So, if you don't mind, you can, if you don't mind being on your feet, please. And just join me while we pray for these young people. Whatever the Holy Spirit lays on your heart to pray for them, pray for them, pray for the children, just pray for this, the younger generation. Father, in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, we just want to bring our young people before you, the teenagers, young adults. Father, those who are here, we commit them into your hands. Father, those who are not here, those of our children, Father, who are not here, Father God, we pray for them. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus that you will move in the life of these young people. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, that you will touch their life, Father. Lord, that you will touch their lives in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Father, we pray that the power of the enemy be broken over their lives in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, we come against all the lies that the enemy might tell them in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lies such that they don't measure up. Lies such that they don't look the way they are supposed to look. Lies, Father God, we come against these lies in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, we know, oh God, that you have a plan and purpose for every single one of them, and even those who are not here, Father. You said in your word, I know the plans that I have for you, plans of good and not evil, to give you hope and an expected end. So, Father, we pray for their future. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father, that their future will not be aborted in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, that whatever plan that you have for their life, Father, those plans, Father, will come to pass in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, we pray, oh God, in whatever thing that they find themselves right now, whatever bondages, Father, whatever captivities, oh God, in their life, Father, we break those captivity, we break the chains of bondages in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We set them free in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, we begin to pray for your revival in their life. Oh God, we pray that you revive them. Revive them, oh God. Revive the passion in them for you. Revive, Father God, the desire to serve you. Revive, oh Father God, Lord, that they will walk with you. That the word of God that is in them, Lord, will be a benchmark, Father. The word of God that is in them, Father God, Lord, that you will use it, Father, that they will walk, Father, according to your word, in the name of Jesus. My Lord and my God, that they will uphold their Christian values, Father, in their schools, in their colleges, in their universities, in their communities, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that they will be true to who they are, Father God, even in front of their friends. They will not be ashamed, Father God, to let them know that they are Christians in the name of Jesus. And we take authority in Jesus' name. We rebuke the hand of the enemy over their life. We declare that none of them will die prematurely in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We speak life, the Zoe life of God, in their lives in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for thirst and hunger in them for you in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray your protection around them in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we pray, oh God, that you will have your way in their life totally and completely in Jesus' name. And we cover them with the blood of Jesus. And those who are not here, Father, we pray, oh God, same prayer for them. Keep them all safe, Father God. And we thank you. We declare success, Father, in everything that they do in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, you said that we are the head and not the tail. Father, we declare that there will be the head and not the tail in the name of Jesus. There will be above and not beneath in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.